Welcome to the Future Women Podcast. Today I'm chatting with Nikki and Stacy, and they are amazing. I'm going to dive into their background in 1 second, and I'm excited to let them tell you a little bit more about it too. I'm Azora Zoe Pocknod. I'm the founder of Goldoon. We're a new e-commerce retail brand making sustainability less beige, whether that's for home, life, personal care. We believe that sustainability should be more inclusive and less granola. And it's, of course, through our work with sustainable brands that we got to know Nikki and Stacy. And actually, I'm fond of everyone we work with, but I'm particularly fond of Nikki and Stacy because they were, I think, the first folks, if not some of the first folks, to really roll the dice on me when I came to them with Goldoon, which was like not a business at that point or even a website, but like just an idea that I had. So anyway, they rolled the dice on me when they had no reason to. And I'm so grateful for that. And I want to start before the beginning. I would love for both of you, I guess, to tell us a little bit about yourselves and your background, and also to tell us, I want to go like to before the beginning, but how you got started and how you sort of channeled your experience in design, in brand building, in textile to what you do now. I'm sort of being secretive on purpose because I'm like saving the mic drop for once you can tell us about how you got there and the awesome, awesome business you've created that I'm absolutely obsessed with.
Cool. Yeah. So, well, thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. And we don't think, Azora, that we were like rolling any dice when you reached out to us, because when we got your deck and when we first, you know, had our initial phone chat, we were like, this is so aligned with our take on sustainability and everything that we do. So it felt truly like a perfect pairing. So we want to say thank you to you as well. But yeah, so I'm Nikki Reed, and I'm one of the co-founders of Atelier Saucier. And my background, I'm from the East Coast, but now consider myself a true Angeleno. But I, yeah, have worked in restaurants and hospitality my entire life. I went to school for hospitality management back East and have just always loved restaurants and entertaining. And yeah, I sort of after I graduated college, I moved all over the country running and opening and helping concept restaurants. And landed in Los Angeles and met Stacy about 10 years ago. We were fast friends, and I'll obviously let Stacy go into her background. But one of the things that we really connected on initially was just, yeah, our love for design, for entertaining, for hosting, for dinner parties. We just both also had kind of this entrepreneurial spirit, and we really wanted to do something cool and funky and sort of disruptive, and have been always bouncing ideas off each other about what we could do together and what we could create together. And Atelier Saucier was born. The name is sort of a blend of Stacy's background, which she'll touch on in just a second, which is in fashion and design. And then Saucier has quite a few meanings, but it's a position in a classic French brigade kitchen. And it also means saucier, which is, I think, kind of a foundation of what we do, kind of making things feel fun and saucy and different and playful. So let's Stacy, chat a little bit about herself.
Hi, guys. I'm Stacy Inspector, the other half to my partner, Nikki. My background is in fashion design and kind of design in all areas. But ever since I was a little kid, I was always playing arts and crafts. And my grandma gave me her sewing machine, and I made a purse line when I was a kid and sold them in different boutiques down in Southern California, where I was born and raised. And then I would make drapes for my mom's house, and it was just always whatever I could kind of create. That's what I spent most of my time doing. So I got into UC Davis for business and found out they had a fashion design program and immediately switched. And that's where I truly fell in love with design and learned how to dye fabrics and just dove really deep into how to make patterns and how to really design clothing. And then I got my dream job in LA, where I truly got paid to do arts and crafts every day. And yeah, learned about the LA kind of fashion world and met amazing craftsmen. And we get to work with them today. That company, unfortunately, didn't make it. So when they went under, I turned to interior design. But I knew that in my heart, I would find my way back into fashion somehow. And Atelier Saucier is that perfect blend of, I think fashion is a little bit too fast sometimes. So we're really getting to hone in on what people really care about these days.
I wanted both of you to spill the details on your journey, because I feel like Atelier Sassy is such a, like a perfect amalgamation of what you both do so, so well. And like everything that's brilliant and chic and exciting and glamorous about restaurants and dining and hospitality and food. And the same with fashion. I think so much of what you do is like fashion for the home. And I guess who's even to say that fashion should be limited to like the body, right? No reason not. But I think it's like so, so much the perfect marriage of all of those things that you sort of both experienced and lived through in your careers thus far. But to the listener, if you haven't seen Atelier Saucier's tabletop products, their dining products, napkins, everything, the linens are stunning and beautiful. And I was so beyond thrilled when I realized that such a beautiful product had its roots in sustainability, or had its roots in recycling or upcycling, if you will, or like renewal, because it just at that point to me, it felt so, so rare, right? That you could find something that was that chic or that beautiful or that functional or something that felt so design forward, when so often items that are recycled or again have like their foot in the sustainability door, they often can feel super granola, right? And I know that's the thesis of my work, but I'm so curious where you began and what kind of inspired you to go the upcycled or the dead stock or the recycled route.
Yeah. So the first napkins that we made sort of fell in our laps in an interesting way. I was working on a really unique and very, very sustainably mission-driven restaurant concept, actually based out in New York. And the owner wanted cool linens for the restaurant. And in past projects, I had also come across this being a really big hurdle, because you can go a lot of different routes when it comes to linens for restaurants. You can do obviously something that's really standard and typically like rentals and often polyester blends and that kind of bistro stripe napkin that you see at pretty much every other restaurant out there. Or you can definitely go the very high end route and get like an Italian milled linen. And of course, you're going to, you know, pay an arm and a leg for it. And most restaurants don't really have those kind of budgets. I was chatting with Stacy about it and really wanted to try to make it work for this restaurant concept. And Stacy was like, well, why don't we just make them? And I was like, oh my God, like ding, ding, ding. Of course, tapping into Stacy's incredible knowledge and her contacts here in the Los Angeles fashion industry and having so many wonderful sources, and then using what I knew having worked in restaurants so long and also as just like an avid diner, what makes a good napkin, right? A good table linen. And more so than that, we wanted to, of course, make them in LA, but have them really tell a story and align with both of us and how we go about our daily lives and being super sustainable. So again, Stacy had some great sources in downtown LA where a lot of the fashion houses will, for lack of a better word, kind of like discard their fabrics, the leftovers from a seasonal line, or sadly, a lot of brands do go out of business and they'll have lots of fabric and it's all premium. It has never been used. It's not like dirty or vintage or anything. It's just kind of extra. It's surplus. A lot of people like to use the word dead stock. So yeah, we went there and we sourced a bunch of fabrics and we made thousands of napkins and they were a hit and it was really fun and we had a great time doing it. And it kind of just started snowballing into like, maybe this is like an idea, a cool idea that people could be interested in. And we started getting a lot of interest from friends and other people we knew in the industry, and started creating a little bit of a groundswell. And we designed our first seasonal line and we launched our website about 2.5 years ago, our direct to consumer.
There are a few just dead stock fabric vendors in downtown LA, and that's just what they do. A lot of fashion houses and truly any production runs, you always over order. So at the end of a season, you're always kind of left over with excess fabric. In the fashion world, as we all know, a lot of buyers and the fashion world in general is a little finicky. So sometimes you get this massive order and you buy all this fabric and then someone cancels. So you're just left with excess fabrics. And kind of part of our business model is we have a signature collection where we have, you know, these 8 base fabrics and we're going to continue to buy them in mass quantities. And God forbid one day something happens, like we're going to be left over with these fabrics. So there's this one place called Rag Finders and they've been around for, I want to say 50 years or longer.
They're kind of like the OG, like surplus fabric vendor downtown.
And so when I was in the fashion world and worked there, whenever we were designing a collection and we needed a little sliver of a sparkly, shiny fabric, but we didn't want to order it from overseas or we honestly just didn't have the time, one of us would get in our cars and drive down to Rag Finders and you pick up a 25-yard roll of fabric and that is now part of your collection. So there's just a few really amazing dead stock resources, and the fashion houses, not only in LA, but kind of all over, I don't know if I want to say the world, but definitely all over the US will sell their fabrics to rag finders and a few other places. We have another one called Premium Denim Outlet. They have a lot of denim dead stock. And then, yeah, we keep on the hunt for more. And then through fabric vendors that I've worked with, we'll give someone a call and they'll find out that some fashion house has this leftover fabric and we'll scoop it up. So there's just kind of a whole market for dead stock fabric.
I feel like Stacey and I have chosen like the most challenging and like time consuming sourcing approach out there, right? Like we're not ordering from a catalog, and we really, I mean, have like dug through just piles and piles of fabrics. And sometimes we're like, what are we doing? Like, this is crazy. But we find those gems, and we are just so obviously passionate about it and dedicated to using surplus reclaimed fabrics, et cetera, that it makes it all worth it at the end of the day. But, and it is worth it. And so many of our, especially our seasonal lines, I mean, they truly are one of a kind. Like we'll get the last 100 or 50 yards of a certain fabric, and it could be the last 150 yards on the planet. And it makes it, I think, really special. And all of the collections that we design, and when we do source these fabrics, we're obsessed with mixing and matching. So each of these seasonal collections, they really tell a story. So, okay, maybe we're out of this one fabric, but we'll have something else that really beautifully complements it. And you're then kind of creating this whole entertaining suite and linens suite within your home that's super uniquely yours. And yeah, can have a lot of fun with like mixing and matching a lot of our styles. And yeah, that's kind of how it all got started.
It's an amazing, I mean, again, sorry, like really beating a dead horse, but it's an amazing story.
I love it.
I also just feel like it's so serendipitous, right? That you two obviously have known each other for so long, and like you each brought it came together perfectly. Sorry, I'll stop. But I guess, sorry, and this is super technical and me like always dying to get into the nitty gritty and like the ops and the magic behind the scenes and all the Wizard of Oz stuff. But I'm curious, I know obviously lots of folks make napkins, in my opinion, super biased, none as well as you, but also lots of folks upcycle. I just feel like nobody does it exactly like Atelier Saucier. And I'm curious how you got to the point that you were able to be really like so transformative with your work and with the dead stock linens or with the upcycling, and how you could really take a garment from like discarded or waste essentially and turn it into this like really beautiful final product. I know you can't give away like the secret sauce, obviously, but I guess for me, the differentiator besides how amazing you both are at design is just it feels like such a far cry from a piece of dead stock fabric or like discarded clothing, right? It really does feel like a new luxury, like premium product for your home. And that's so sadly so uncommon when it comes to like recycled products or recycled sheets, even tablecloths. Like it's tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost we have to think, you know, the city that we live in, because LA really does have such amazing resources and materials and craftsmen and people to help us make our ideas come to life. But I think it also goes back to just Nikki and I having this friendship and having this love for hosting and wanting it to be fun. And also our attention to detail is kind of off the charts. So if something is not good enough for us, we're also not going to put that out there in the market for someone else. And yeah, just tapping into my design background, I used to design for a women's wear line that we would go to New York Fashion Week and present. So it was always just kind of thinking just fashion forward and trying to come up with the coolest and newest idea. And it's just tapping into those roots again. Sometimes we'll dye something and it doesn't turn out the way we wanted it, but it like looks even cooler. So that becomes part of our new season, and always just pushing the envelope to kind of make it better and more fun and always approachable, because we don't want it to ever not seem like easy to use or something you don't want to put on your table, and just like special and something to use every day.
100%. Well, obviously you nailed it, but I was going to ask you earlier sort of what called you to design for the dinner table. I feel like the answer, sort of the proof was in the pudding as far as your backgrounds and the one kind of job or restaurant that brought you together. I found you sort of at the beginning of the pandemic, or a solid middle of the pandemic. And it was interesting to experience the ways that people were using napkins and runners and placemats when we were all dining at home all of the time. And at first, frankly, I thought perhaps people wouldn't go down that road, or it wouldn't be sort of how they wanted to spend money during the pandemic and obviously all of the tough times. But I think it turned out that for a lot of people, setting the table and like really differentiating home from work, from play, when all of those things sort of ran together, bled together, was helpful or therapeutic, or set aside time to really like make dinner matter or make breakfast matter or whatever those moments they were sharing with who they were living with made them count. I'm kind of curious how food and gathering and the pandemic have played into your work this last year or so. And also if that sort of changed or evolved since you started the business. I'm not sure exactly when you started it, because of course I've only known you since 2020, but I'm so curious how those themes have sort of all shaken out, especially since your roots are really in like gathering and hospitality and the restaurant sense, which of course has so dramatically changed this last year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. We were just talking about this not more than an hour ago about, yeah, how of course wild and challenging and just kind of exhausting this last year, year and a half has been for people. But I do think one silver lining that has come out of it is sort of people revisiting the concept of sitting around a table together, not just once a week or once a month or for holidays, on a daily basis, and setting the table, because restaurants have been kind of put on pause, or were put on pause for quite a bit. So people really did invest in their at-home dining experiences and in their homes in general, new art and new furniture, and revisiting the dinner table, and then realizing how important it is. I think everyone's just so busy that sometimes I eat dinner standing up because I just like don't have time to sit down, or sometimes I eat it cold because I don't even want to waste 3 minutes putting in the microwave. And it's like really thinking about that and how kind of messed up that is, and realizing how in the grand scheme of life, how important those moments are where you sit down and you talk about your day and you set the table and you use ceramic dishware and not plastic forks and not paper towels. And I really think, and speaking for myself and for other people I've chatted with, I do think as things are starting to reopen, which is obviously very exciting, that some of those, maybe not new habits, but those habits we've revisited due to the pandemic are going to stick. We definitely saw a pretty big uptick in our sales volume over the last, you know, year and a half, and a lot of the retailers we work with, and Azura, maybe you can even speak to this as well, who maybe would have typically, like, the home category was kind of on the back burner, or not something that they saw really as like a major sales driver, and how now some retailers, big, small, are just putting so much time, energy, and effort into really curating their home offerings. So we were lucky enough to be included in some great lineups in that regard. So yeah, we are definitely excited to see people continuing to dine at home, and to also now start hosting, you know, dinner parties again and events. And of course, we definitely saw some of our hospitality clients and those projects kind of take a bit of a pause. We're now seeing events starting back up, and a lot of weddings that are smaller than maybe they would have been a few years ago, but it's given people sort of the budget and the ability to invest in smaller special details. And a lot of people are really, you know, interested in us creating napkins for them and monograms and things like that. So it's been really fun, especially working with event planners and brides.
I totally forgot you have the whole personalization component to the business too. Yeah. I'm so used to the retailer side of things, but of course that makes a ton of sense. Weddings are booming again. Stacey, something that you mentioned earlier kind of got my brain cooking. I'm thinking a little bit about fast fashion and the cycle and sort of the quick turnover of that industry and how quickly seasons turn over and the constant rate of production. And y'all do sort of these seasonal drops, and I'm always on the edge of my seat, so thrilled to see what you're about to drop next, because each is better than the last. I'm obsessed. But I'm curious how working in fashion, how being a part of that industry and part of that landscape, I'm sure it shaped your worldview on sustainability, but I'm curious how it shapes your process as it comes to like rolling out a seasonal line or spring, summer, fall, winter, and what you take into consideration there. I've noticed like a real meticulousness and like sort of beauty in the way that you curate that collection. And they definitely feel timeless, but also super fun and relevant to the moment. But I'm sure that's not an easy, easy line to walk if you're actually doing it yourself. I'm so curious how you cultivated that strategy and how you approach seasonality and staying relevant and continuing to design and grow the line and add more, but also with an eye to sustainability.
It's funny you asked this question. When we started this business, there's so many things that you don't think about when you start a business. Let's just put that there.
For sure.
But when we knew we wanted to really break into like the mass market and go the wholesale route or be a part of a beautiful website like yours and brand, you have to kind of think about the fact that when you're using deadstock fabrics, at one point you're probably going to run out of it. And how do you,
right,
you know, maintain the business and continue to offer your clients what you've put out there? So we have a signature line and then we have a seasonal line. Our signature line is based of like 7 or 8 fabrics that we know we can always find. It's like a dark denim and a blush linen, a burlap, like a white twill. So really these base fabrics that over the years, they're going to have to change because we're going to have to continuously source a new version. But you'd be actually, it's interesting. Sometimes we just had to find a new dark denim and we found the identical one to, I think, the last one. And it's just, we're working with deadstock. So when we go to our different resources, they'll pull out these rolls that have been stuck under this huge pile of fabric. And there you go. You have more of what you had before. But yeah, the signature stuff is just a way that we can break into the mass market and sell to larger retailers and know that if they order today, we can then still fulfill the order next year. But we still wanted to have fun and be able to offer different one-of-a-kinds. And so that's where the seasonal collections come about. So we do a fall holiday and then a spring summer. And that's when we can find 50 yards of a fabric and know that we'll be able to make like 50 to 100 packs of napkins. And then once they sell out, they sell out. But that allows us to kind of go crazy and find some fun prints. And we did a cool tie-dye day to night collection, taking that base fabric and kind of just jazzing it up a little bit. And yeah, that continues to evolve. And we kind of have to make sure that each season is better than the one before. So that just kind of pushes the envelope and it makes us really just come up with like new, fun and exciting ideas.
It's like very funny, almost a little ironic that in sort of like the typical fashion cycle, turning things over quickly and seasonally is generally not sustainable behavior. But when you're working with deadstock and you're working with such small batch and thoughtful production like you are, those smaller collections like coming more frequently is in so many ways the more responsible choice than the alt. I think maybe it's not funny to anyone who saw me, but I was like, that's interesting.
No, yeah, and it's kind of like a capsule collection. So it's also fun. Once we sell out of them, a lot of the times we can't create it again. And Nikki and I, every time we have to take a style off the website, like Nikki's shedding a tear and I'm like, it's okay. Like we're going to come up with like the next best thing. Like, but we get sad. They're our little babies. And when we run out of them and know that we can't get any more, you kind of just have a heartbreak moment and then you got to move on.
I'm better at moving on now. In the beginning, I like really like I had some codependency issues, but now I'm better.
I understand completely because I have the same reaction. Like when you ran out of Palisades plaid and electric weave, I was like, no.
I think everyone kind of had
that
moment.
Yeah.
Those are my fave. But no, this spring summer was also amazing and stunning. And in your wildest dreams, what are your hopes for Atelier Saucier? How high will you fly? Also, if I could put in like maybe a casual request now, if you guys wanted to start doing curtains, if you want to slip up for furniture, like I'd be super open to that. Would be very excited about that. I'm curious what is sort of in the books if you're continuing, and I'm sure you are on the same path, but also if there are sort of bigger goals. I know I'm sure you can't share everything with us, but it's always nice to know sort of what the pie in the sky dream is for businesses and founders and friends that you love.
Yeah. I mean, how much time do you have?
A lot of time.
We have a lot of big, fun ideas. We actually just launched our first hard good product a few months ago, or I guess with this most recent spring summer collection drop. And we partnered with a local craftsman who makes beautiful pieces out of woods, all sourced here in Los Angeles. And we designed a very kind of like mid-century modern style napkin holder because we could never find a napkin holder out there that we would want to use in a photo shoot or could get excited about. We have a lot of ideas for, yeah, new product categories or I guess new like tabletop accessories that I think always kind of speaks back in some way, shape or form to our linens, but can be used as accents or with a napkin holder. We're all about like putting your linens on display. Like Why would you want to put these in a drawer when you can have them on your counter and show them off? So yeah, I think expanding product categories that we create, and then also expanding the options that we carry on our website. So bringing on some other incredible makers that we know here in Los Angeles and elsewhere who align with us in terms of brand ethos, and then also obviously product offerings. So we have a lot of ideas, and we have a long list of people that we would love to get up on our website to be kind of like the one-stop shop for tabletop. That's definitely, I think, something that's on our horizon, hopefully, sometime soon. We moved into an office here in Culver City about 6 months ago, and it's given us the opportunity to really start looking to bring a lot of our production in-house. We work with amazing individuals all over Los Angeles, that many of whom Stacey's worked with for years and years and years, but bringing things in-house allows us obviously more control when it comes to managing costs and quality and waste, and allows us, you know, to create samples in the blink of an eye and really get creative with things.
That's where we could, you know, possibly make your curtains.
Yes.
Because we'd be able to have our little workshop in-house and create these custom goods that people request.
Yes, send us your window dimensions, Azora, and we'll
You guys
we'll
are get, really generous.
We'll I mean, get started I, on that.
I know it sounds insane. I'm moving and I have like one very large weird window, and I'm fixated on what I can hang there, and like obviously it's me, so I want it to be sustainable but also to look amazing. It's like there's only two people for this job. So I was going to try to con you into making curtains, but I can't believe you would even consider it. Thank you so much. I'm flattered.
Well, this might be a side note, but I mentioned earlier in my background was I was doing fashion design, and this company went under and I went into interiors. And at that moment, I always knew I wanted to own my own company, and I always knew it was going to be somehow in the fashion world or realm, but I knew it wasn't going to be clothing. And yeah, at one point it was going to be curtains. So would love to tap back into that thought.
I mean, also, your patterns are so beautiful. Like everything that you have going for spring, summer, and it makes perfect sense to me. I'm sure people want them for other surfaces in their home, whether it's like bedding. I'm not trying to completely change your business model or like trick you into something else. But all I'm saying is, if you're looking for a market other home products, you're in the right place. I will retail them. I will buy them.
Yeah, we get a lot of interesting requests. Some that make kind of sense. Oh my gosh, you guys do aprons, oven mitts.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Really big request we've been getting recently. But there's a lot of R&D that goes into that, because there's quite a bit of liability for people burning themselves. But we actually get a lot of requests for dog bandanas, which we've made quite a few of, because at the end of the day, it's essentially just like a large napkin.
Yeah.
We've made a lot of bandanas, and recently a lot that individuals want to like embroider for their furry friends. So we definitely are open to other things besides table linens, for sure.
I'm happy to hear you say aprons and oven mitts. Before starting Goldoon, I was at Food 52, where we made aprons and oven mitts. So I know what a labor of love it is, but also those are like products I'm particularly fond of. And I think also coming from a world of home cooks, people need the aprons. They're looking for them. They're definitely out there thirsty for kitchen goods.
One of our kind of like wild and crazy dreams is, I think it takes a lot of time and a lot of resources, but I think becoming B Corp certified is something that we would really love to start intensely kind of exploring over the next few months, years. It does take a while, but really getting our practices, putting pen to paper, and really making this something that is going to be carried on for a long time. I think living in LA, where sustainability has been, I guess, if you even want to call it a trend, I mean, it's something I think that more so maybe than anywhere in the country, except maybe like Vermont or something, it is like truly, truly woven into the mentalities and the daily routines and whatnot of people in Los Angeles. We've become very close with a lot of individuals in the food world, and also other makers that are similar to us, small businesses who are making really cool products, a lot of them female founded, which is really fun, who've all, really, I think, connected on the challenges around operating a company that's really sustainable.
On that note, I'd love to ask, what does sustainability mean to you these days? I feel like sustainability is a buzzword that's taken on a life of its own. Like what it even actually means is very, very much defined by the person who uses it in the sentence. It means something different to every marketer who uses it. And it's tricky to define. And that's certainly part of my work and what I feel like is my job at Goldoon, but I'm also really curious, as founders of a sustainable business, as people who are turning something that's like quote unquote trash into treasure, I'd love to know what the word or what the concept actually means to you in your specific role.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's just having a mindful mentality to everything you do. When I moved a few years back, Nikki and I had started this business and I moved some paper towels over from my one place to my new place. And because we started this napkin business, you could imagine how many napkins we each own in our homes. I was like almost a year into me living in my new spot and I had still not gone through my paper towels. And that's because it's just if something spills, why use a paper towel? Just use a cloth napkin, clean it up and then throw it in the wash. And so it's just like that mindfulness of having that realization and trying to apply that to all different areas of your life.
The word sustainability can, I think, sometimes be lumped in the same mindset of like, okay, if it's sustainable, it means it's going to be a little more complicated or it's going to be a little bit more difficult or it's going to kind of throw a wrench in my daily routine. However, like it's obviously the right thing to do and it's better for the environment. Da, da, da. I think something that we really try to do with all the products that we make is sustainability can, and I know you always see this as our like what first and foremost, like should be less beige, right? It should be just as chic and just as beautiful and just as high end, but it also should be like just as easy. So I think that's what we really, the approach we really try to take to our linens. And we always say we need them all to be washable and wearable because kind of speaking to Stacey's fashion background and the fact that your napkin's kind of like an accessory, you like wear it for sometimes up to like an hour, hour and a half. And it should be fun. And it should be, dare I say, like kind of sexy. So it should make you feel good. And yeah, it should be just easy to maintain, not this crazy thought process. A lot of linens, at least for me growing up, I always thought of our linen drawer, whatever that was in there was precious and had to be dry cleaned. And like, you didn't want to get any food on. And whenever we choose our fabrics, we always look for something that's a little bit more durable and heavier weight. And we like to go with denims and certain colors that you can get saucy, for lack of a better term, and you can throw in the washing machine. And we like our linens to have a really long life cycle and truthfully get better and better with wash and wear. Sustainability for us is obviously doing the right thing when it comes to sourcing and all of that, but just making the decision seem like a no-brainer. Like, why would I ever do this when I could do this? Because it's easy, but it's also obviously what's best for our planet.
I love that. I think you're so right. I'm right there with you on the same page. It has to be form and function, right? And
yeah.
I love your point about it being a no-brainer because I feel like that's the only way we're going to get huge quantities of people excited about this movement and involved in it and feeling like active and engaged in ways that are true to them and their lives and their experiences. Like it has to feel like a no-brainer. But anyways, you you guys and your brand feel like a no-brainer to me. Obviously, I made that super clear. I'm a forever fan.
Oh,
and
gosh, love you.
If you're a listener and you still are just hearing the words and you haven't seen it, I like can't recommend scoping it on the web or on Instagram enough. The brand visuals and the products are so beautiful and the photography and the styling are stunning. It won't surprise you that Nikki and Stacey have backgrounds in design and in hospitality and fashion. That all shows. But no, it was such a delight talking to both of you. And I feel so lucky that we get to be on the planet at the same time.
Oh my God, I love that. We love you. Thank you so much.